Hands up here who has an open source program, culture, any bit of help at all in their office. Okay. I'd have expected a few more hands. But trust me, I'm not judging here. I'm not judging. Hands up here who mentor people about open source. Okay, a good few hands. Hands up here who is just starting their journey in open source, who's a mentee and trying to get going. If you put your hands up twice, you're a liar. No, you're not a liar, because this is one key aspect in life. Everyone needs a help up. Every one of us that has started in open source, it's been hard. The very first time I went to an open source conference was OpenStack in Atlanta in 2014. And I had no idea what it was about. I even bought a new pair of shoes, and I don't wear shoes, and they cut my ankles after 2 days, and I had to go into first aid and get a bandage from a very nice guy who gave me a bandage. But I wasn't sure what to do or where to do it. And I was only starting out my open source journey. But over time, I've realized that everyone needs a help up. And when you say you're a mentor, you're also a mentee. You're helping, but you're also learning. And over the next 20 minutes odd or whatever is we get through is, what I want to do is look at the fact here of what we're doing in our companies with open source. Because when you use open source, you need to give back into it. You need to be able to help your employees and so forth. And that's something I'm going to discuss as I go along. Okay. Okay, so Leslie introduced me there. The key part of it is I've been doing open source for over the last 10 years or so. And I came into it by accident. But the minute I started making some contributions and I went to that conference in Atlanta, I said, I want to do this. I don't know what it was. I'd been maybe 20 years at that time programming. I've done different languages. I've done different technologies. I've spent, you know, all my life doing some sort of programming, one way or the other. And I just saw, that time in Atlanta, I just saw the collaboration between people from different companies. It just blew me away. You know, hands up here who thinks it's better to be head down, program away yourself, or working in a team. So first of all, hands up if you think on your own, doing it yourself. There's always one. Hands up who thinks, you know what I mean, it's the collaboration or it's the bigger team that gets things done. Yeah, it's not a trick question, really. A lot of you probably, hands up here who knows Phil. Yeah, Phil is just a great person that's in the industry. If you ever get a chance and you see him, go up and talk to him. He's very, very helpful. He can't make it this year and he's probably getting a giggle to think that that I'm presented this again, but there we go. All right, let's kick into it. So Phil's journey has been down here largely, you think, around the container space back when he was a Docker captain, but it starts even back before then because Phil used to work in IBM, but I don't know Phil from IBM. Strangely enough, we worked in the same company, but when it's a big, big company, I got to know him out in open source. I got to know him through OpenStack, and he was doing talks on OpenStack. And his journey went back from those early days of the Linux Foundation when IBM helped to set up the foundation, up to getting involved then with Docker, becoming a Docker captain, and then when it was opened up with the OCI, the Open Container Initiative, and then into Container D. And he's one of those people, someone said it to me today when I was talking to him in the canteen, he's just one of those people that goes about it without any airs of grace or scent of entitlement. And we've built a nice friendship over the last few years, and it's true open source, really, and open source conferences and trips and so forth. Myself, it started back, as I said, with OpenStack. And then over the years, anyone up, hands up here who realized that Elastic at one stage had an open source community? A few, yeah. Now, it was open source, but with a closed foundation. It was a challenge, and I have to say, I was able to make contributions, but it was harder than it normally would be if you've a more open foundation. But that's nothing against Elastic. That's just the way they had the community at the time. And then for the last few years, I've been in the Kubernetes ecosystem with Helm and different parts of Kubernetes, and then in OpenTelemetry. And now I've been looking more around the AI space. So as you can see, I didn't update the slides any further, but that's the way it goes sometimes. So why should companies have an open source culture? I think the key point we get here from this is, if there's anything that came out of Log4j issue a number of years ago, was open source is absolutely everywhere. It's in our phones, it's in our fridges, if you have the fancy damn fridges, I'm old school. It's in your, if you've put in a lovely camera system that you can access on your phone here now while you're sitting here and it's at home, or you've decided you want to turn the heating off because your kids, you know what I mean, should run outside rather than sitting inside in a nice warm home, whatever it is, it's got open source in it somewhere. And that's a fantastic thing. And I'll touch it in a while, is because companies have realized over time, you cannot create everything on your own. And this idea that through communities, through different open source projects, you can build and make your products from there. And there's a realization for a lot of customers today that they want interoperability. So what do I mean by that? Well, if you're using a monitoring or an observability tool or platform to look at what's running, what's the usage, where there's errors and so forth, a lot of vendors want to say, right, okay, we're using that now for maybe Instana or Datadog. Maybe we want to go to another platform. Can we plug and play? And this is one of the reasons why the OpenTelemetry has been such a success around telemetric data and monitoring, is because it's not the first standard. There's been multiple standards in that area, but none of them stuck until OpenTelemetry, because the vendors bought into it. And they said, right, let's extract away. Customers are fed up with saying, I'm using this product, this platform today. No, you're going to have to go and change all your client code again, because we have a different protocol for our data. And this idea here that you could standardize the data, and then it's the back end then that you're buying, bought in with a lot of customers so they can swap and play. The same thing around, it's one of the big reasons why, you know, my own company, IBM, has got involved so heavily with OpenShift, is the idea here that you can go from vendor to vendor. So customers want to say, right, I want that in-house, my cloud, but I want parts of it in the public cloud. I want to be on Google today. No, next week we want to go to AWS, costs have gone too high, or we want to go somewhere else. So that idea here that you can plug and play or you can move around is so important. So Phil put this in because he's big into statistics. I'm not so much into stats. For one reason why, do you know 90% of statistics are not correct? Okay? But I'm still going to talk to the slide, but he talked to it the last time. And this comes from Red Hat, so well done to Leslie and all her colleagues. And I suppose the key to get out of here is that, you know, on that first line, that what I said earlier about vendors, they want to, that enterprises are more likely to choose vendors today that are using open source. And it's because of that ability to, you know, the community and also the ability to be able to plug and play with open source has made it so favorable. But there's a few things here on this that's important. Now, I would say those percentage numbers are probably rising. You're probably going, 49% isn't that high. But when you think of the amount of companies that are out there, and the different industries and everything, and that's available from banking and so forth, they're quite high percentages when we look at it. And the key here, I think, is that they realise that, the realisation that by keeping open source communities healthy, your products are going to be healthy because you're building on top of that. The other part then is that if you want to get new functionality in or bugs to get fixed, okay, you can go out and do it. You don't have to ask someone else to do it for you. You can make the difference, okay? And you'll be able to make that difference if you are contributing or you are being a mentor to that community. And more technical challenges have been solved by this worldwide effect in the different communities. Hands up again, the folks who are, and I'm serious on this, the folks who are starting out in their open source journey or they're thinking about getting involved in open source. Okay. So these few slides hopefully will give you a bit of an idea of why to get involved in it. And the first one really that stands out to me, and I think the one that's the most important here, is the way to grow your career. And you probably work in a really, really good company. But one thing I learned, and I love to travel in my 20s, and I love backpacking around the world. And the greatest things I've learned in life is from different people and different cultures and different countries and different languages. When you embrace that, your world is your oyster. You learn from that. And one of the loveliest signs I ever saw was in this lovely beach hut down in the Tiaman Islands. It's just off of the coast of Malaysia, just above Singapore. And at the time, this was it the early 90s or the noughties? It was an island that most people went to Langkawi. They didn't go here. And it was a lovely kind of not touristy of an island. And a lady ran a lovely beach hut, and there was a sign on it that said, if you don't respect my culture and my ways, why did you leave home in the first place? You will get some of the greatest opportunities to grow your career and learn from other people that have different ways and different ideas than you probably will within your own company. You will learn within your own company, but you're going to broaden your mindset to it. And I always have that phrase that someone always knows more karate than you do. And if you take that on board and you realise, you know, there are people that know more stuff than you, there's nothing wrong with that. You will learn so much from that. And I think that's what gives you great opportunities. And the final one is that when I started out all that years ago going to do interviews and so forth to get jobs, I'm talking back 30 years ago, you made up a CV and you printed out the CV and you sent the CVs in the post. You know, and then kind of you were attaching it to emails. But it was a static document of what you're doing. Now you might update it and all that. With open source today, you just have to give them a series of URLs. You know? You can show the contributions you made. 10 minutes, isn't it? Yeah. Now, I've gone totally off-piste on this, so, yeah, we had no notes on this either, so maybe we knew what we were doing back then. But all your contributions are out there. If you get a chance to do talks, and trust me, there's no kind of, you know, hierarchy, I've been there 10 years, or I've been in community, I do a talk there. Opportunities will come up, and those opportunities are fantastic to grow your career and grow your mindset. Okay, it's letting me down, is it? Sorry there. So how can you cultivate this culture? And I think one of the first things really is education across your company. So hands up here, anyone where the company is still trying to know, you know, the value of open source. Ah, jeez, for God's sake, stop. No one. So everyone in the company is totally au fait with open source and everyone's grand with it. No, that's not true, because there's always companies that are still trying to learn, okay? But the key is education. what it can bring into your company, how it can grow your people and so forth is so important. Okay? Also, the tools and practices. I remember I was working on open source for a while, and I was talking to a colleague one day. Oh, this is back maybe eight years ago, and he was trying to get a project out the door, and they were talking about, oh, we're trying to get a release out now, but people are after pushing the stuff overnight, or after breaking the build, all this sort of thing. Now, if you were in open source, that would never really happen, because someone can't just push stuff in willy-nilly, unless it's a maintainer that's left, you know, the alcohol or the coffee go to their head. But generally, there's gates. It has to be reviewed. There's one or two people going to review it, blah-de-blah, did it pass the gate, so on and so on. So I mentioned that to the colleague at the time. And his response was, yeah, that's okay, you're doing your fun stuff out in open source. This is the real world. And I had to laugh at the person at the time, because it was an education thing. And over time, that person has realized, you know, the power of reviews and bringing it in, the whole idea of inner source. And I think at the time I said, what's this inner source? But I can see the value of it, where we bring all the good things we do in open source, we bring them into our company so that people can learn from it. You know, and it may be as simple as, at this stage, everyone should be moved over to GitHub. But, you know, using GitHub, having a good CI/CD, having a good review process, you know, taking it easy when you're reviewing someone and giving good feedback, that's, you know, going to help the person, not destroy them. All those good things we take for granted in open source communities. And I believe they happen because we've put the rules in place and people are willing to implement it. If you decide you want to be a jackass, someone's going to call you out. Like, don't be under any illusion, you know, the whole reason why open source gets on so well is we're all such great people. We're great people because we know, first of all, you should know how to behave. But if you're not really that sure how to behave, you will learn that you should behave when you see that somebody will not be tolerated for behavior that's unbecoming. And that's a great thing, because we now all become responsible for our own behavior. And you'll hear this from Leslie and everyone else that's presented in this room. Please take your rubbish with you. You know, please don't bang desks. Please don't go in late. I'm looking at you two guys at the back there. Okay? I'm only joking. But you know, these little things are important, and that's what drives it. And that's why bringing it in, the culture to a company, is important and how to do it. And education, I'll go back to again, is the big part of it. And also, I suppose, finally, is the thing that if you make contributions to open source, they are as important as making to the product, okay? So yes, maybe the product makes the hard cash, but the open source that someone's contributing is indirectly involved in that product making the cash, because it's built on top of it. And showing people that if I find a problem, and this was taught to me the very first time I worked, if you find a problem, go down through the whole lot of the stack and fix it the whole ways down and the whole ways back up. Make it right. Don't just say, you know, there's a spelling mistake in there in the document, or that doesn't work right. Raise it and say, can I do that? And go with it. But knowing that your company will, at the end of the year, say to you, okay, that person has been contributing that out here. That has brought value to our company. So where are we now, myself and Phil? I'm not going to talk for Phil, because his words can speak for him there. For myself, it's unbeknownst to myself, going towards being an SME in the company around open source over a period of time. It's been a gradual process. But one of the key aspects to me has been involved in helping other people within the companies. So being part of a jumpstart that was started a number of years ago, where we get educate people on open source, what open source is. But one of the key roles is getting somebody to make that first contribution out to the community. Hands up here who remembers the first time a PR got merged out in the community. Be honest with me now. Oh God, look at this. The shy hands out there, like, you know. Very shy group here. You know? Hands up who remembers you check in, you check in, you check in the PR. Has it gone in yet? Has it gone in yet? That is unreal, isn't it? And then the one where they go, oh no, we don't take this one, and then you have to go again. That is hard. But helping people through that process and showing them that it is not that easy when you've been working a certain way, tend to go out to the open source where and work that way. It's like being a trapeze artist and they take away the net underneath. It's a bit like that, where you go, I think I can do this, but obviously if I get it wrong, you know, adios amigos. So I think being able to help people through that is probably one of the things that brings me the most joy, and being involved in that program of Jumpstarters. So I probably missed most of the points that I was supposed to say.
I felt like they were well covered.
Is it? Yeah, I get a feeling that I had great stories I was going to tell. But anyway, has any of the stories been any good so far?
Martin, I'm sure you listened to you read the phone book. Not that anyone remembers.
Okay. There's no pity we should have got subtitles for this, all right? Sorry for my English. I think the first one speaks for itself. And, you know, it's like everything. I think it's like volunteering. Hands up here who volunteers, any aspect at all. So I coach a group of young fellas soccer, okay? And I tell you, over the last few years, if a few things have been going on personally. And don't get me wrong, these boys annoy the head out of me sometimes. But they're young teenagers. But I've gone down there a few times and my head's been wrecked and they've just lifted my afternoon. You know what I mean, coaching. They're fun. What you put in, you get back. It's the same with open source. If your company is building your product and they're using open source in their stack, you want to be given back. Log4j is the warning that was out there, okay? One poor person cannot be blamed for an issue that was inside in something. Where were the other people? The collaboration and creativity you're going to get from open source is unreal if you start noting your journey. I'll give you an example. I went into the canteen today, I got a coffee, and I sat down in the canteen. And the next thing I saw, two guys I know, David Flanagan and Andrew Martin. Okay, to this day, I don't know how I got to know. I really don't. Because I don't work in the security area, which Andrew's space is in. And David, I don't know. I don't work in the area he works in, which is around training and different areas like that. But somehow, I've got to know him independently. They know each other, and we sat down with the chat. And we talked about everything. We talked about where open source is going, you know, people who make right contributions and who don't. We talked about things like where people come in and just make functional changes and want to become a maintainer. But we'll never do the dirty work of PR reviews and triage and bugs. That's, I call it dirty work because it's hard work getting down into the gutter, cleaning the drain, but it's the most important part of it. Because if the drain doesn't flow, it's backing back up into your house, folks. Okay, remember that. And the last one then is what it'll bring you around for, you know, as a person, what you learn from it, like I said. And then the aspect of here there is that you're going to grow so much in this. You'll grow so much in your career being in community. As I say, meeting people. I've met Leslie through it. You know, Leslie and I started working this year and I didn't realise, well, you didn't make this conference last year, did you?
I was not able to.
Yeah, you're not able. But like, she could have been here and, you know. I've met, you know, Laura and I've met Shirley. So the way you can grow as a person and grow your career is so important. So that's all from me, I suppose.
Sir?
Okay, we've no time for questions, I presume.
No, we do not have time for questions. We have time for applause. Yeah.